I mean, when I think about all the long hours and long weeks that, I've logged in over the years, what kept me going was my passion for the industry. That's really kind of the key word that sums it up for me.
Welcome to Common Roots, an infra podcast.
And I'm your host, Haley Craig.
Independent natural food retailers are as diverse and unique as the communities they serve. From urban to rural, East Coast to West Coast, small to large, there's one thing that these stores have in common: a deep commitment to providing healthy foods to their communities. In celebration of Infra's 20th anniversary, we're handing over the mic to 20 Infra members to share their challenges and triumphs in navigating the world of natural food retail. Are our common roots really so common? Let's find out. Today, we are joined by Jake Collier from New Frontiers Market, and this is their story.
All right. Thank you so much for joining us today, Jake. Would you mind introducing yourself and telling us a little bit about your store?
Sure. My name's Jake Collier, and I've been in the natural food business since 1972. I've been eating natural foods since 1970. So I've been in this industry a long time and have watched it change and grow over the years. It's been very, very exciting, very rewarding industry to be a part of. New Frontiers, actually, it's kind of been like a roller coaster. We started in 1987 in Salt Lake City. Myself and a couple of friends, we purchased a couple of stores that were struggling, small stores. Long story, make it short. Within a few years, we had grown it into three different stores in Salt Lake. And the biggest one was 10,000 square feet, which, back in the 80s, that was pretty big. And then in the early 90s, we expanded into Arizona. We went into Flagstaff and we opened up a region there over the next few years. We grew that to three stores, one in Flag, one in Sedona, and one in Prescott. And so we had six stores. And in 92, we purchased some land in California so that we could grow organic produce. And with the idea that we would ship the produce to the stores. And after doing that for a while, we realized, well, what we really need to do is get a store near the farm. So we looked at all the different scenarios of how to go about that. And we ended up selling the Salt Lake region off to a chain of stores called Wild Oat, which I think later was bought by Whole Foods. And we moved down here. We opened up in 1996. We opened up a store in Solvang, and which is right near the farm. It's maybe 8 miles away. And then about 70 miles away from that, as part of the deal with Wild Oat, we got a lease on a location in San Luis Obispo for a 10,000 square foot store, which we opened the same year that we opened the Solvang store, which was really a pump. And so then we had five stores. We had three in Arizona, two in California. And then in 2010, we got into a abandoned Circuit City in San Luis Obispo and opened up a 33,000 square foot location there. That was kind of our golden child. It was really it was in this wonderful shopping center with a Costco and a Home Depot and had a lot of traffic. It was a real winner. So we had that going on from 2010 to 2014. And then 2014, Whole Foods approached us wanting to purchase our stores. Negotiations took a couple years, but we finally ended up selling them the three Arizona stores and the San Luis Obispo store. And we kept the Solvang location. And so right now, the owner of the center has totally redone the center, given us a prime anchor location. It's an 18,000 square feet. And so we opened up this new location in Solvang in 2018. So we just have the one store now. We closed down the farm. It's up for sale. So it's kind of been a roller coaster. You know, we kind of went from nothing to over 600 team members at one point before we sold the stores. Huge home office with all kinds of staff and everything. And now we're back to kind of where we started. One store, and we have maybe 100 people working here. So So anyway, yeah, it's been a great ride.
Wow. Yeah. Deep history of how you got here today. Yeah. And would you mind talking a little bit about where you're located and kind of the neighborhood you're in and what that community looks like?
There's kind of like a, we call it the Valley. There's really a number of small towns. There's Buellton, which is right on the 101 freeway. 3 miles in is Solvang, which is a real tourist town. And then a little further on is San Ynez, which is a kind of an old Western town. So anyway, when you add up the population in like a, I don't know, a 10-mile ring, there's only 25,000 people here. But fortunately, we're in a higher income area. You know, there's a lot of money here, a lot of retired people, a lot of people that have moved up from Los Angeles, some actors, some musicians. You know, it's really kind of a Gale kind of area. And so we benefited from that, which is really nice. So yeah, it's a nice little area. People think of California and they think of LA, and the Central Coast area where we're located is incredibly nice. It's not very populated. It's right on the ocean. It's just really gorgeous.
Wonderful. And so New Frontiers is one of the founders of Infra. So all the way back in 2004, you got together with a couple other stores to form what we now know as Infra today. So would you just like to talk about what that early day experience was like and what kind of initially motivated you to want to form Infra?
Back in the early 90s, the thing about the natural food industry that was so wonderful and which makes Infra really wonderful now is that in the 80s and 90s, there weren't a lot of huge stores. Whole Foods had a few stores in Texas. That was it. Wild Oat had started in Boulder, and they were kind of starting their initial phase of growing. And everybody was really into networking. Like, we were in Salt Lake, and in our 10,000 square foot store, we wanted to introduce fresh meat. We had no idea how to do that. We went to Palo Alto, which Whole Foods had just opened there. They opened up their doors to us. This was before they went public. We networked with them for about 4 days, learned all about how they do their meat and a bunch of other things that they do. Wild Oat taught us how to run the front end with different reports and, you know, different things like that. So it was really everybody was in the industry willing to share and get this thing off the ground. And it was very, very, very exciting. So in talking, like, to at the time, Wild Oat was owned by Mike Gilliland, and we used to network with him, and we would sit around and talk about, because we could see the writing on the wall that Whole Foods was starting to really grow quickly, and Wild Oat was growing into a big chain, and there were a lot of little stores. And we kept talking about, we need to unite these little stores and get some buying power, get some networking happen, getting some systems together so that we're not all struggling and trying to, you know, do the same thing. So that was the very seed energy in the early 90s when we talked about it. And then it took till, you know, the late 90s, early 2000s for us to finally pull together with Jimbo's, New Leaf, and Earth Fair, which we became the founders of Infra. I wasn't that involved. I was more in the operations of New Frontiers at the time. But then the president was Jonathan King, and he was instrumental in working with Jimbo's Earth Fair and New Leaf in developing the structure of Infra, basically, and doing the initial hiring and getting it off the ground. So we've seen Infra, you know, start from an energy, a thought in the 90s to where it is today. And it's been really exciting to watch.
And yeah, I love how you talked about kind of the excitement and the energy and kind of where the state of natural foods was in, like you said, the 90s. So kind of going to the other end of the spectrum, what is something that excites you or that you see for the future of natural foods today?
Well, it's kind of a two-edged sword. It stresses me a little bit that so many small companies are getting bought up by the larger companies that in the past had no interest in natural foods. They just basically see it as an opportunity to make money. The other edge of the sword is they have the willingness and funds to develop new products. And kind of push the envelope of natural foods, variety and cutting edge technology and things like that, that keep this industry growing, which is really exciting. So, you know, it's kind of a hate-love relationship where it's been happening. You know, it's just really different. To me, I enjoyed it back when it was a smaller industry and everybody was working together. But that's the really beauty of infra, because infra offers all these independents a common source for deals and savings and sale items and all kinds of wonderful opportunities to grow our business and help in so many different areas that we normally wouldn't have help in because everybody's so small, you know.
And what would you say is, and you kind of already hinted at some of these, but one of or the most valuable lesson that you have learned in your time running your business?
To be successful, you really have to be passionate about the business. A number of the stores we opened, we actually bought the local natural food store in that town that we would go to them first, say, hey, we're willing to put a location in here, but if you're interested in selling, we'll purchase your store from you. That worked a lot for us. Which always shocked me was, you know, you go into the back room of some of these natural food stores and people are eating McDonald's and they're not passionate about the industry at all. It's just a job. So when we look for people to hire, or we, you know, talk in our team meetings, whatever, it's always to find people that are passionate about the industry. You know, it's not easy to find people that are that passionate about natural foods. That's the thing that, I mean, when I think about all the long hours and long weeks that, you know, I've logged in over the years, what kept me going was my passion for the industry. That's really kind of the key word that sums it up for me.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And especially in this industry where, I mean, it's not always an automatic moneymaker. So you really need to have that passion to keep you driving through. And so I also have noticed this passion that you also kind of relay to your customers, and that New Frontiers seems to really care about education and educating your customers on healthy eating. So how do you navigate educating your customers and your staff about healthy choices? And what impact have you seen from these efforts?
As far as the staff goes, we try to get brokers to come here, brokers, and talk about their products. You know, we have a demo program where we, few days a week, we offer sampling in the store. The deli will have sample cups out during the day. And we encourage our team members to taste stuff, talk to the, you know, brokers for sure, learn as much as they can. I think the brokers are probably the main educational tool right now for the staff. The customers is the demos, and just our staff being able to talk in the stores. Like we, you know, a lot of stores will do like night stocking, you know, and we've always felt that night stocking is very efficient, but we want people in the aisles when the customers are in the store to answer questions. And so our labor tends to run higher than normal because we keep our staff here, and it takes them a little longer to throw a load because they're getting interrupted by customers, things like that. But we have people available that can answer questions and help them and direct them. Like our team members in our well-being department, they're constantly taking people into dairy or produce and showing them different items that they might be interested in and couldn't find. And so it's a real team effort, and it really works well.
Yeah. So really about that connection, having customers feel comfortable enough to ask questions and having your staff, you know, well educated. That's great. Does New Frontiers have any other programs or initiatives that your store participates in? Or is there any programs or partnerships that you have?
Yeah. One of the things that we do is we have a 5% variety once a month where we donate 5% of our sales to a nonprofit. So we have certain rules a nonprofit has to qualify for. So we have a list, you know, we have a list going forward, I think for the next 4 months, who the people are going to be. We ask that they show up that day and have some representatives that can talk up their nonprofit, you know, so it you know, depending on the Friday, it can be quite a substantial donation to them. We also work with a local high school Football is huge in this valley. And so the football team has this thing called a pirate pass, where you can purchase it, consumer, you can purchase it for, I think, $75. And on the back are these list of businesses and what deals you can get if you have one of these cards. And so we joined, as soon as they came out with the program years ago, we participated. And anybody with a pirate pass on Wednesdays is the only day we honor the pirate pass, but it gives, if you buy $100 or more, it's 15% off your order. So our Wednesdays are huge. They used to be our slowest day of the week. Now they're our busiest. And what's really cool about it is that, you know, these people come in, take advantage of it. And then on Saturday, they need some things. So they'll come back and they won't get the discount, but they're still coming back and purchasing products from us, which is really great. And then we have certain percentage of our marketing dollars go to gift baskets for this auction or, you know, different things that are going on in the valley and that we can participate in.
Cool. And so earlier you'd also talked about how you had previously owned a farm where you would grow produce for your store. Is that something that New Frontiers still prioritizes, the locally grown produce, or do you source a lot of local brands, things like that?
We try to find local growers as much as possible. We understand how hard it is to be a farmer. I think we had it for 15 years or something, and we never made any money. But for us, it was a marketing tool, a way to get really good produce into our stores. We also sold wholesale to Whole Foods and different stores also. So yeah, it's been a learning experience being a farmer. And so we try to support farmers and also just local upstart businesses. If they contact us and they say, can you bring our product in? Like, I think our well-being department has, I think, 50 different people they buy direct from, you know, because they offer a little bit of this, a little bit of that. So even though our main suppliers, our wholesalers are KeHE and UNFI, the grocery department has a bunch of people they buy direct from, well-being does, you know, things like that, that support local people and upstart businesses that are happening.
Yeah, so you have a good mix. And so staying on the topic of products, do you have any of your own personal favorite local or unique products that you carry at New Frontiers that you want to shout out?
Yeah, I'm a vegan, so it limits a lot of the products that I buy. But it is exciting because there's way more products, vegan products available than there were 10 years ago, which is really nice. I think the main products that I really enjoy is our fresh produce. Our produce, we located it right as you come in the store. What we learned was to really promote our perishable departments, because that's something you can't buy online very easily. And so our produce is right by the front door, and you flow out of produce into our dairy department and flow out of that into our meat and then over to our sushi and our deli. And that's the perimeter of the store. The deli is probably does 50 to 60% of our sales. It's huge. And I think it's because of the income people have here, so they can buy the pre-made stuff coming out of the deli. And plus, it's all made from scratch. We don't purchase anything in a bag and open it up and heat it up. So our labor is really high in the deli, but products are incredible and freshly made. And we have a bakery that makes incredibly delicious baked goods. So they'll make some vegan items. And so I always take advantage of those. But yeah, the produce, I would say the main thing is what I really enjoy in this store a lot. And some, of course, the vegan products.
Yeah. You can't really beat delicious, fresh, organic produce. Yeah. And I also wanted to ask about the deli. Have you always had a deli at your previous stores? Or what did that look like to get that set up in your store?
Well, it's funny. When we started in 87, Jonathan King was the president and I was the vice president. My job was to open up the store. I was the operations guy. For a long time, for a lot of our stores, it was graph paper and a pencil to figure out where everything was going to go. All the equipment was used, refurbished. You know, it took us a lot of years before we could afford a new piece of equipment. So in laying out the 10,000 square foot store in Salt Lake, I just wanted to do a sandwich bar and juice bar. That's all I wanted to do. But Jonathan was instrumental in pushing for a deli. He really felt like that was really where we should go with it. So I went with it kicking and screaming, but that's really been the key to all of our store's success is our deli. The fact that it is all made from scratch. When we had our five stores, we had a deli coordinator, and our best chef would go travel to the stores. They'd come up with new recipes and education and training and things like that for the staff. And so the chef that we had here for a number of years, she retired finally, but she probably developed thousands of recipes. So we've been just, you know, we don't have that chef anymore. And so we've just been working off of a lot of the old recipes that she developed over the years. And it works out really well.
Yeah. And I think very aspirational for some of our members who either really want to start their own deli or struggle with their in-store deli. So it's just a great example to look at because you guys do a great job. Okay, great. Well, I think we are almost at our time, but is there anything else that you want to shout out? Anything else you want to touch on that I did not ask you today?
I guess the main thing is just to reinforce what I said before is that I'm so happy that Infra is so successful and continues to grow. And I just hope and project that more and more independents will jump on board and Infra will just keep, you know, growing and being more successful and helping out every retailer in their operations and in their success. And because that's really the basic principle of how the natural food industry grew. So it really makes my heart happy to see that it's still happening on a different level now, but at least it's happening for independents.
Thank you for tuning in to Common Roots. This episode has been made possible thanks to the hard work of Infra staff and Infra member contributors. To learn more about the retailers we serve, visit our retailer directory at naturalfoodretailers.com/retailer-directory.